me.
No.
Yes. Well, folks, here we are.
Oh, we're starting.
Yeah. Just hit the button.
Hello, lovelies. Here is Donnie Raven.
Sean Magnum.
And we are here with
Madison Greenwald.
Yay! Welcome, partners and pals.
Thank you.
You were with us before, but we had to cut that episode because of the Foo Fighters acoustic song in the background.
Them playing in the background. I'm sure the audio wasn't too great either for that one.
Yeah.
It was kind of rough. Like you could hear it for a while, and then, you know, Everlong would get louder and louder.
I can't listen to the Foo Fighters since that happened. Like, every time they come on, I'm like, fuck you, Dave Grohl.
What happened? What does Dave Grohl do?
He wrote such a catchy song that they played over at a coffee shop. No, because of Everlong playing in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And it was fucking Everlong.
Now you can't do it no more.
Yeah, now I'm like, I need a break, Dave. So...
Go fuck yourself, Dave.
Yeah, fuck off, Dave.
You hear that, Dave, bro? Go fuck yourself.
I gotta, you know, stay with the team, so go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I ain't that mad at you, though. Yeah. Until decided otherwise.
Out of all podcasts, he hears this one, and he's gonna be like, what the fuck did I do?
We did have one of Dave Grohl's friends on the podcast, though.
Oh,
Jennifer
shit.
Finch from L7.
Just tag her in this one, and then we'll just get a shitstorm going.
And the hashtag fuck Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
Be like a internet campaign.
He seems like such a good guy that he might find it funny and want to come on the show.
Right?
Like, he'd be like, oh, you guys are hilarious.
Why did you hashtag fuck Dave Grohl? Because you're the new Nickelback. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
damn.
Oh, what?
That was cold-blooded.
What? You act like Nickelback's a terrible band, though. People make that joke all the time, but they're fucking awesome.
I love the songs Photograph and Rockstar by
Nickelback. Tell me anytime a Nickelback song comes on, you don't know almost all the words.
Just those two.
I kind of know the...
I've been standing in line for clubs I'll never get in.
Oh, my God. That was a good one.
I saw him at the mall one time. He was shopping.
Chad Kroeger.
Yeah, Nickelback, you know, with the
box
hair
face,
and
yeah.
The face and the, and I'm not gonna say we were like that nice to him. Somebody like called out his name because we were in duo.
Fuck Nickelback.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of flicked him off. And, you know,
I mean, you kind of have to do that. If you see Chad Kroeger, you gotta be like, fucking Nickelback sucks. But like, he's sitting in a $22 million mansion in fucking Hollywood that's like paid off or some shit. It's like,
care.
I don't think he gives a fuck what I say.
He did not smile at us. He didn't look happy. This is when Nickelback had only been around for like a year or two. So they were like new Nickelback. And he had just begun shopping with those nice bags. Like, he had four of them.
This is back when the Photograph happens, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, it was the Photograph money.
Yeah, and he had a couple things from, like, JCPenney and a couple things from, I don't know, Macy's. I don't know if Macy's was there yet, but he had, like, four.
Oh, when I go mall shopping, and they're like, you just want us to throw that in your other bag? I'm like, absolutely not. I want as many bags.
I need everyone to see that I'm walking out with shit. I grew up poor as fuck, so if I go to the mall and spend money, people need to see that I spent money.
I want my Fosse bags.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I want to be...
That I'm going to save for later that year for somebody else's gifts.
There you go. I walk out with... Wow. You guys can't relate, but I walk out with Victoria's Secret bags, and I'm like, bitch.
Never know. I mean, I haven't. Not yet. But, you know.
Not for
never
me.
Never say never. It might happen.
Going into Victoria's Secret buying something?
Yeah, I need to start stripping.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Gonna get you a nice pink thong.
Yeah, I'll get a thong and...
Times are rough, man. Just to go to the groceries, you might need to fucking start stripping.
Shoot, what you said.
It's rough.
It's really rough.
Yeah. A lot of people are stripping nowadays.
I haven't done it yet.
Yeah,
I've thought about it. I did an OnlyFans for a little while.
Oh, awesome.
And it was fun. I can't lie. And I made some decent money, but I can't do that shit. Like,
I know a few people who do it, and I, no judgment, good for you, but I'm kind of wondering, like, how do you keep it on the down low?
They don't.
Well, you don't. Like,
they don't.
Yeah.
They don't. They know.
Like, yeah, how do you keep your, like, 74-year-old Marine dad from finding dead?
Well, my dad is dead, so I don't know. He doesn't have to find out.
Yeah.
But for others, that was dark, wasn't it? I never met him, so he's a piece of shit. He could rot in his grave.
Oh, well.
There you go.
You heard it first.
This is a dark podcast. First it was fuck Chad Kroger, fuck Dave Grohl, and now we're talking about dead dads. So it's a good one.
My mom's dead, too.
Well, dead parent club, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My dad also passed.
He did.
But my dad was pretty cool, so I kind of sucked.
Was cool, it did suck.
But I can one-up you in the death club.
The what?
I can one-up you in the death club.
Uh-oh.
This is going to get real dark since we're on it.
Okay, if we're going to do this, let's do this.
No, it's not really one-upping. No, my son passed away in September of 2022. Yeah. Boom. I think I leveled up just now.
Yeah.
That's rough.
It is rough, but I deal with it by doing stand-up and doing comedy sets.
Yeah.
And do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I noticed you touched on that the other night.
Yeah.
When you were host.
Try to make it light of the subject. That's the only... I mean, at this point in your life, no matter how old you are, if you haven't been affected by someone in your family or anything that has cancer... I don't know. Tosh said this. If you've been affected by anyone that in your life that hasn't had cancer yet, like, good for you. You're blessed.
Yeah.
But, like, if you've dealt with anyone, like, just anyone that watched it go down, like, and you don't have a sense of humor about it, you're kind of the asshole.
My wife's dad also passed away from cancer, and she was with them a lot and saw like the
decline is terrible, man.
Yeah,
it's awful. No matter who it is, it's an awful decline, and so if you got to develop some type of way to deal with it, whether it's dark, like me and my partner, we dark humor all day about it. Now we're not making fun of mine, but like we make you know dead kid club jokes and shit like that, and it's, you know, it's only funny to us, but other people would be like, what the fuck are these people
talking about? You deal with it is how you deal with it.
Yeah.
And if I mean, I'm the same way, like laughing about stuff is really the best medicine.
Yes.
It's just, I mean, what do you gotta do? You
right.
know, shit happens and it's out of all of our hands, so you gotta make the best of it.
And especially with regards to stuff like cancer, but then, like, my older brother was murdered.
Well, I think you just went up to me there.
He did. Went up a child.
I mean, you have murder, so that's pretty...
It was over something dumb, too. Like, one of the two guys was trying to steal the other's pot plant. They said my brother ran, had a knife in his hand, tripped over this small fence, and stabbed himself. I think what actually happened is the neighbor stabbed him. The knife was tossed like 75 feet over, and Casey County Police just swept it under the rug. The state police came back to look at the scene, but it had already...
It's already changed, yeah.
Right, and they're like, we know there was foul play, but at this point, there's nothing to do.
That sucks.
And the thing is, if I went to like Casey County, started asking questions, you know,
they're just gonna tell you no, sorry.
And if I kept on with it, it's like a 10-person police force, bunch of little boys, you know.
They ain't
like,
giving a fuck.
Yeah, they don't care.
They'll bury you. They'll bury you and sweep that under the rug for asking too many questions.
It was a drug related thing, even though it was just like a pot plant. But
yeah, you know, it was. I don't know who was trying to steal it from who. I've heard both sides, like, versions. It's just...
Who knows?
My brother didn't have any fingerprints on the pet pot plant.
Well, so, sounds like he wasn't stealing it.
Yeah. So, but... Yeah, so now I just, like, hope that the guy's still alive when I'm 90 and have lived my full life and... but that's not gonna happen. I just try to like make the best of it. It's like there's nothing I can really
do. No, there's not shit you can do about it. You can only control what you can control.
Yeah.
That's why I moved to like drag at first and then more of stand-up stuff, because honestly you can control your like the crowd, you can like you have control over what's going on, and so that's my favorite part about doing all that, and that's how I cope with fucked up shit, is doing stand-up. And I haven't even been doing it long, but it's been like therapy.
Yeah, performing's definitely therapy.
My mental health has gotten so much better since I started playing music again. But speaking of your stand-up, alright, so you hit me and Rick from 5011 Media.
Rick Idiots.
Literally Rick. Crying the other night, yeah. On your bomb threat story. Can we get you to share that with our podcast audience?
You want the bomb threat story?
Oh my god. Like, that literally.
Well, there's a setup story to that, and I have to tell the setup story before I can tell the bomb threat story.
I'm okay with it.
We are all ears.
Yes,
all
right. Because that was, oh my god. And the fact that it's a true story makes me so much happier.
Yep. That is 1,000%. 1,000%.
I was actually talking to Rick on the way here, and he was like, "Who's on the podcast?" And I told him, and he's like, "Oh my god, the bomb threat." I'm like, "Yeah, we're gonna talk about that."
So, if no one knows, I'm a trans woman. But where I differ from most trans women is I do not like men.
Me neither.
Right? Yeah, I know you guys aren't trans women, but you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I feel like I'm missing out. I really wish that I was bi, but I'm not. I can't.
So you can say I'm strictly not dickly. Right? Unless you count what's between my pants. There's that. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta endorse your own brand.
So, exactly. You know, that's the only one. If you're the only one that's counting, then I guess I'm strictly not dickly. I do like girls. I like to make girls come.
Yeah.
To the conclusion that I'm a fucking mistake. I'm a walking red flag. You understand?
Yeah.
Monogamy. Yeah. Boundaries? What the fuck are boundaries? Yeah, you put them right in that trash can that's over to my right. That's where boundaries can go. But I promise you, what I will do is I'll make a whole separate version of you to my friends and my family. It makes you seem like a terrible partner. Every time we hang out, they're gonna look at you like this bitch. And then when we get home, you're gonna ask me, What's up? Yeah, what's up? Why don't your friends like me? Why don't your family like me? And I'm just gonna be like, what the fuck are you talking about? They love you. They love the shit out of you. And every time you're not with me, they're always asking, like, where are you? Now, I know it's not September and we're not sitting in J-Town, but I feel like I'm at the Gaslight Festival right now, because I'll gaslight the fuck out of you. You understand? I'm a terrible person. Terrible person being said, when I was 16, I called in a bomb threat to my school. Now, I hated that fucking school. Right? I wanted them to die.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I just wanted to go see The Matrix Reloaded and do it that day.
Okay, so this is back when, like, the bomb threat to school was fairly common.
Oh, yeah, this is a common... Yeah, this is back when this shit was real.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, my mom was like, oh, you can't go see Matrix Reloaded. And I was like, well, now school's canceled. So, I went and I saw The Matrix Reloaded that day, and it was fucking awesome, right? Totally. Me and a bunch of friends, right? It was worth it. It was worth it until I got home.
Oh, you got it.
And there was 14 cop cars around my house.
You didn't star 67 it, did you?
Well, in full transparency, I did actually call it in. I wrote it on the back of a sheet of paper.
Oh.
And I hand-delivered it to the school office through the mail slot. And I really should have looked at the other side of that piece of paper.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was it like an old assignment or something?
No, it was the backside of my report card.
Oh, that's amazing. Did you do that? purpose.
No, I did not. And now to elaborate more on that, this is not the bit. Now, this is not the bit. So that day, it was early in the morning, right? And this is just giving you backstory on this. So it was early in the morning. I think it was like, and I went to a private school in J-Town. This is a special needs school. Now, if that all just brings everything together now, yeah.
Fighting all the time.
I'm half a tard myself. You get what I'm saying? So it was like 6 in the morning. School started at 8:30. The Matrix had come out the night before, and this is before they did like midnight releases, really. So like just the next day, the movie's out.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
saying? So I wanted to go see it. All my friends had bought tickets, and they weren't going to school to go see the movie anyway. And I was like, I want to go. I called my mom. I said, hey, I don't think I'm going to go to school today. I'm going to go watch the movie. My mom's like, absolutely not. You're going to school. So I was like, man, how can I get out of school? Fucking a bomb threat. Opened up my fucking backpack, grabbed the first piece of paper I saw, slapped it down, and I was like, I will fucking blow up this goddamn school if you open it for like class today.
At least you left the Matrix reloaded.
So yeah, right? So I fucking folded it up, walked up to the school through the little mail slot, because they had a mail slot on the front side of the school where no one had walked in. So I slid the shit in there. First thing that the people do when they unlock the school around 7 in the morning is go straight to the mail slot. And they saw that paper, and then all they did was turn it the fuck over. And they were like, I think they did it. This is back before I transitioned, so I'll say it. You know, I think he did it at the time, you know, and it's like, oh, fuck. And yeah, now, like, so later on, when I got full-blown arrested for it, put in handcuffs, taken out of my house, taken downtown. Now I'm 17, 16 at the time. I say 16 because it's funnier, but I think I was 17. And I had just had my license. And they took me downtown, and they never checked my ID or nothing, and I wasn't 18, but they took me to, like, big boy jail, and they started booking me and shit, and I was like, hey, I need to call my mom, and they're like, what for? And I'm like, well, I was like, don't you guys need permission to take a minor? And, like, at the time, like, I had a beard and stuff. This is back when I was boy, and they were like, you're not 18? I was like, no, I'm 17. And so they basically, like, had to take me back because my mom wasn't at the house. This all happened during the day before my mom was, and she never even was notified of this until, like, years later is when she found out about it.
Oh, wow.
When I first did this stand-up bit and she was there, that's when she found out about it. 20 years later, you know what I'm saying? So
that's great.
What's she going to do now, ground you?
You did what?
Right? Yeah, what are you going to do?
Was that her reaction?
She was like, what in the fuck is wrong with you? I was just like, you know, a lot. If you didn't notice, you know what I'm saying? Transition. Fucked up. You know what I'm saying?
It was the Matrix.
It was worth it.
Did it for Keanu. If you're going to bust your ass like that for any actor, Keanu's a good dude.
Dropped. So... You know, the moral of the story is, if you want to do fucked up shit, just make sure you do it before you're 18.
Yeah.
Make sure your mom doesn't find out.
Make sure you do it before you're like 15 now, because...
Yeah, now they can just charge you with an adult shit.
Yeah, they're like, you knew what the hell you were doing, and I would try to act like I did.
Oh, yeah.
Here's another one. I'll give y'all another little piece. Have y'all ever, what's the craziest shit you all...
It depends what category.
Okay, let's go near-death experience. Legit near-death experience.
I've overdosed 3 times.
You've died twice, haven't you?
Yeah. And then I was in an accident where my hip got shattered, and they had to stabilize me for like 5 days with a chest tube.
I snapped my femur in a car accident, so I can understand how you feel. Not that I didn't flatline or have to get none of that shit, so holy fuck. But I was just...
Yeah, like, somebody had to pull a steering wheel off me.
Oh, fuck. You were fucked.
Yeah, Sean wins in that area.
Yeah, you definitely win. I only rolled my car, and I got out with a fucked up leg.
Sean's so almost died, like, 17 times.
All right. Well, this story may not be as cool then.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine. No, it's all right. So, before I transitioned, I wanted to do, like, one last blowout. Like, guy, redneck shit. I wanted to go do the most shit I could think of. So I went to the Daytona 500. It was a good time. I drove my ass down there. I stayed in an RV that I rented on Airbnb in Cocoa Beach. And then I drove to Daytona for the race.
That's cool.
And then the race, I didn't know what the fuck was going on in the race or whatever. But on the way back, in between Cocoa, there was a place called, like, Jim Bob Skydiving or some shit. All right. So I saw it, saved the number. Called it the next day, because this was nighttime. Called it the next day, and I was like, hey, I want to go skydiving, da-da-da-da. They're like, come on out. Did the thing, paperwork, all that shit. Now, if you can picture Jim Bob skydiving in your head, that's exactly what it looked like. This is a fucking shack with, like, a screen door. It was, like, a fan. There was, like, an AC unit that did blew out hot air. It was a piece of shit, right? And there's, like, 10 or 15 of us going into this plane. Now, I don't know if either one of you have ever been skydiving, but you're hooked to somebody. And you're somebody's bottom, essentially, for the next 2 hours.
2 hours?
Yeah, I mean, that climb up to 14,500 feet takes a minute.
So you get to sit on their lap in the plane?
Yeah, oh, yeah. There's no seats. You're sitting in, like, it's like an all-metal floor. You're just sitting there, and you're all just leaned back up against. There's a bunch of you there. So, but we're...
Oh, so I can't even sit like a princess or anything? Oh, man.
Nope. So we're first one at the door, right? And the whole time up, I'm like, I'm going to jump. I'm not a pussy. I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I ain't afraid to go out. None of that shit. And I promise you, the second the door opened up, I turned into a bitch and I screamed like. Now, I'll say this. The plane that you're in when you go up is a piece of shit.
Oh, I bet.
Like, so much of a piece of shit that you're like, do I jump out?
Do I stay in? Old coke smuggling plane.
Yeah, there's, like, smoking and shit. Like, when you take off, it's like, you know, feel the whole plane chatter and shit. Like,
yeah.
And so when they send you out the door, then when they send you out the door, they tell you to cross your arms and they say, we're going to go on the count of three. Of course, they send you out on two so you don't grab and freak out and hurt everybody. And anyway, so we go out and we're just going to fast forward. You free fall. It's pretty boring, but the plane disappears really quickly and you instantly realize, fuck, can't get back in the plane. It's gone. I'm down for the ride. Whatever's going to happen is now going to happen, right? So we get down to, like, I think it's like 9,500 feet where they pull the ripcord. I don't know how the fucking the altimeter.
Yeah.
So the shit opens. You feel them pull. I hear the... But it's not slowing down like I've seen before. And I look up and it's a ball of fabric. The guy's, like, freaking the fuck out. Like, he's just trying to pull the goddamn things. He's like, like, doing that. He's looking at his wrist. He's telling them how high we are. He's freaking out.
Oh, shit.
About the emergency chute.
So, yeah. So, we're sitting there, and he's trying to get this one. Because, you know, you don't want to cut away at first. Because if you cut away, you're down to the last parachute. So, you want to do what you can do to save it. So, he tries to save it for at least, I don't know, what felt like an hour. But it was probably, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And next thing you know, he's like, fucking hang on. And I'm, you know, 9,000 feet in the air. I'm not sure what I'm going to hang on to, the railing or something. Like, so I kind of, like, just held on tighter the same way Superman flies faster. Just thinks about it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I had nothing to hold on to. Next thing you know, you feel a slight drop. You see that parachute is gone. Just as fast as the plane was gone. Next thing you know, you see him fucking pull. And then he pulls again, and then he pulls again. And then you hear the chute open, but we still don't slow down. And I look back up, and there's another ball of fabric.
Oh, my God.
And this guy is now flipping his shit. And I look down, and the ground's pretty much right there. And I don't know if you've ever, I mean, you probably have. I just accepted. I was like, oh, well, I'm dying right now. All right, cool. I mean, I guess this is how it goes out. I could have been worse ways, you know what I'm saying? And then next thing you know, this motherfucker goes, "We ain't dying today." And he did this like pull on it. And we did like this like crazy spin where we were basically like our chute and us were parallel to the ground. Oh. And we spun really quickly. All of a sudden you hear and they just boom, like opens up. Next thing you know, I feel hands on my waist. We swing back. Boom! Slam the fucking ground.
Damn.
So that was literally like last second.
Yeah. We hit the ground so fucking hard that I shit my pants. And I'm not even joking with you. I shit my pants.
I was about to ask you, did you let anything loose? Because I would have totally.
Yeah, I shit my pants. I shit my pants. I didn't pee or shit. I didn't pee none of that until I hit the ground. I shit my pants. So then I was literally laying there, look it up, on the sky like this, blue sky. And I'm just like, holy fuck, I lived? I survived that shit? And I turned around and I looked at him, and I kind of did like a double take. That fucker's dead.
Oh shit, really?
Nah, he's just paralyzed.
Oh shit, what?
Yeah.
What, really? Really paralyzed for real?
No, I'm kidding. Oh, okay. He took me out to dinner afterwards, and I kind of repaid him the only way he could repay someone after saving your life.
He did let you take a shit.
I sucked his dick. You know what I'm saying? Well, and remember how I said strictly not dickly? Well, you know, I had to repay that. I mean, he saved my life. Yeah, so I sucked his dick.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? That's a pretty big one.
I got home and I told my partner at first. I was like, I sucked somebody's dick while I was down there. And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, hear me out.
And I was like, yeah, well, hear me out. And she was like, yeah, I would have fucked him. And I was just like, well, I didn't do that. I figured blowing him in his car in the restaurant parking lot was a pretty good.
That's
like absolutely. A trooper, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, thank you so much. That's and then the I've never about. Seen that fucker again, ever again, which is okay. But so he's going to add me on Facebook, the little bitch, and he never did.
Never did?
Yeah, I don't know if it was actually Jim Bomb Skydiving, but it was like that. It was some redneck fuck ass name.
Yeah.
And yeah. Just
man, that is a crazy ass.
Yeah.
I almost like died and I peed on myself. I didn't poop on myself.
You peed on yourself? I mean, that kind of happens when you're.
Well, like I got stopped while I was walking to the convenience store down in Lexington. And it was these four dudes. They had me at gunpoint. And, you know, they were too close for me to run.
Yeah.
So, like, they pretty much took me in the parking lot, stomped the shit out of me, got $10, a pack of smokes, and a shitty Nokia phone.
Did you?
And
it's like, was it worth it?
I peed on myself because I thought I was going to fucking die.
Yeah.
I had a Nike check on my face, a gun imprint, like a butt imprint on my face.
Oh, that's when you had the black eyes too,
yeah,
right?
Like,
yeah.
Dude, yeah, like they fucked me up and I peed myself and I did not suck anybody's pants after.
No one came to save you, so I'm sure if like Batman came in and you'd probably be like, you know what, pull the leathers down, let's go buddy,
let me get the bat Peter.
Right, let me like, I'll give watch. You the bat cave buddy. You can come into mine.
Now, I did get robbed at gunpoint once and I was pretty sure I was about to die, and I tell you why I thought I was about to die, because my wife was 8 months pregnant. I'm like, this figures. I'm like, this is my luck. I'm not gonna see my kid, you know. I'm like, this is gonna be it. And it was at a battery store, Batteries Plus. I put them on blast, whatever.
Fuck Batteries Plus. That'd be another place.
They had a
gun. We ain't getting no sponsors.
They had a gun right here in my side. And I was like, all right, maybe they'll just be cool. And so I told them about the extra money we keep in the back, because I don't give a fuck. And it's my ass or your money.
Yeah, take the money, bitch. You could have the whole safe. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Then they pistol whipped me. And I was like, fuck. I'm like, what's going to happen?
Stunning.
It hurts real bad.
Yes.
And then they were like, hey, hey, we need a battery for, and told me the make and model of their car. I'm like, oh, they're definitely killing me. There's no way they give me the make and the model of their car. And I'm like, all batteries are the same. I didn't know. I was fucking, thought I was going to die. And so they left and didn't kill me. And when they came, when the cops finally came, I was like, well, you know what they were driving? I'm like, yeah, dude, tell me the name of the make of the model. And they actually caught them because they just went on a spree pistol whipping and robbing. Like, they came up to, see, this was in Oklahoma. So, you know, they got away with it. And then they tried to do that shit up here in the Highlands.
It didn't work.
Yeah, no, that's where they got caught.
Dumbasses.
And what the funny
thing is, this is where the white people are. Like, yeah. Like, the what they call the good white people. So that's where the cops
Oh, they pistol whip an old white woman. And that was, they were like, absolutely not.
Yeah, white woman in trouble. Have you ever seen Scary Movie? Yeah. Remember that shit? Yeah. White woman in trouble. Trouble? That's still the truth, bro. I can now use that. To my advantage.
Yeah, see, you're lucky, see, because you transition and the white man right now is just the worst. We have the worst representation.
Why do you think I transitioned? I feel like, get the fuck away. I'm not being associated with being a white man.
I'm fucking packing my shit and walking to the other side.
I was like, fuck that, give me a pussy. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a little lady with pigtails. No, I've
done nothing wrong.
I've been a lady since I was born. Well, I kind of was, but you know, just mentally.
Yeah.
I was a lady with a penis. Still am, but you know.
Like, so how, like, when did you, like, feel like. Like,
8 years old.
I am, like.
8 years old.
8 years old.
8 years old, I knew I was different from all the other boys. Like, I enjoyed Barbie and wearing my cousin's tutus and doing all that shit and being girly, and I put on makeup at that panty. I stole my mom's pantyhose and shit, and you know, and I always knew I was fucking weird. You know what I'm saying? That's for better, lack of better terms, I felt like I was just a weird kid. But I knew I was different, didn't know what trans was, didn't know what gay was. You know, this is what, I was 8. Born in 88, so 96.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Pretty taboo at the time, shit. The only gay person at the time is Freddie Mercury. You know what I mean? And at that, and it, even then, like, the only, yeah. It's like, that was the only person that was like, people were like, oh yeah, gay pride for, you know what I mean?
Well, but Alfred hadn't even come out yet.
Yeah, so, yeah, I was, in 96, I was like 19, and yeah, like, we were cool with all that, but nobody else was cool.
No,
nobody,
people were cool with that, really, so, like, I pushed it down, like, for a long time, and then it really got confirmed to me. Now, this is a funny story, and it's not a bit, but it's pretty funny. So, I was 17, it's around the bomb threat time, honestly. I used to have a bunch of friends, bunch of guy friends, because I surrounded myself with dudes as much as I could, because, like, I'm a guy, I'm not a girl. Like, I had to, yeah, it's crazy, right? It's mental fucking gymnastics I had to do. And so there's literally like 10 or 15 of us in my living room. And I don't know how we got on the subject of it. We got on the subject of, like, our favorite porn. You get what I'm saying? And and they're all talking, and I don't know if this is explicit. We've talked about some pretty fucked up shit on here so far. But I was like, okay, I was like, I like lesbian strap-on porn. It was really quiet in the house for a second. And my friend was like, shit, me too. Fuck yeah, bro. That shit is tight. And everyone's like, fuck yeah, bro. Like, bro, I just picture myself in there. And my friend's like, hell yeah, bro. I just be thinking I'm railing these girls. And they all saying that shit. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I picture myself as one of those girls. And I was like, oh, we like these things for two different reasons. And I was like, fuck, I think, and that was like literally the first moment I was like, am I a girl? Like, and then I still shoved that shit down till I was 31 years old. And then I came out after I done had a, you know, wife and three kids and all of that shit. And then, you know, like, I came out publicly to everyone right around the time my son died. So a lot of people were like, oh, they're just going through some shit. But, like, there was something I was going through behind closed doors. Like, my partner knew at the time. Like, she caught me putting makeup on one night, like, a year before I came out. So, And I went through the fucking thing of, oh, I'm a crossdresser. Oh, I'm a gay man. Oh, I'm this. And it took a minute to understand, okay, trans woman. You get what I'm saying? Like, it was a long time of realizing what you are. And a lot of people think that you choose to be trans, but what you choose to do is transition.
Right.
And you can either not transition, know you're trans, and just live like that, or you can transition. And transition, a lot of people, you know, it's not necessarily medical shit. You can just say, oh, my name's, if your name's Alex, you can just say, I'm Alexa now, and fucking put on girl pants and walk down the street if you want to, in my eyes. But, like, there's no rules to it.
Right.
And I used to think there was rules to it when I first transitioned. So, like, I was scared to come out. I was behind closed doors. I thought I had to do all these things. And I landed up right here, where I never thought I'd be. And honestly, it's the best decision I ever made in my life was the transition and come out.
Good for you. That's awesome. Like
I'm not trying to get on a soapbox of trans issues.
It's good to know that you're like happy.
It always bothers me though when I hear the stories where people don't want to like come out right away, and it's just like,
I mean, I was that way. I
feel like it just sucks that there's that you have to worry about being who you are because other people are assholes.
Well, I mean, I lost all my family. All my friends, all those guy friends I was telling you about, I don't talk to any of them anymore. Actually, I still talk to one. And he won't listen to this probably, but his name's Troy. He's my best friend growing up. And he still talks to me. But outside of that, no one from my past talks to me. Like, none of my friends came to my son's funeral. Like, I came out as trans. My son died like 3 weeks later. None of the friends that I thought would be there, like ride or die and shit that I would give him my life for. They weren't there. So that was probably one of the hardest things going through. And had I known that, like, I was probably still would have transitioned, but I would have, that's what I was afraid of when I came out, was losing everybody. And I still did anyway. So it's like, sometimes it's like, fuck, I should have just came out back when I wanted to. Because if I was just going to lose everybody anyway, they weren't my real friends, so I should have just lost them sooner than stuck them around for, you know, 12 years, 13 years, and shit like that. Sucks. So, yeah, I got all my cousins that I grew up with, that, you know, I wore, like, their tutus and all that shit. I don't speak to them. They got kids. Like, they don't... Like, it's crazy what families can do. The only person in my family that talks to me is my mom, for real. And my grandma a little bit. But she still doesn't necessarily fully accept me for me. She still calls me by my dead name and says he a lot and buddy and shit like that. And, you know, it sucks. And that's the dark side of the transitioning that no one talks about, is you lose everyone. A lot of people lose everyone. And then you got to rebuild and restart. And very few people... Like, I'm fortunate enough, like, the person I was married to, we're not married anymore, but we're still partners, and we're still together and stuff, and I know that probably sounds fucking weird, but for us, married was a terrible decision from the beginning. Like, we should have never been married. We should have kept it how it was, kids, how we were. We were good, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, she stuck through. Like, my transition, she helped me get better, like, in my transition process and all that. And she's been the only one that's been there, and honestly the most important one to be there. But, you know, it was a dark period too, where...
So she's been with you since before you transitioned.
Yep. I met her when she was 18 and I was 22, I think, 23. There's a 5-year difference. And she was 19 and I was 23.
Wow, that's really awesome.
That's really cool.
That's super solid. It's hard to find solid people like
that. Yeah. Now, there's been dark times and there's been infidelity on both sides. Like, we've both crossed lines and, you know, like I said, the boundary line that I made earlier, it's not a fucking joke. Like, I, you know, monogamy and boundaries are something I don't do. And at the time, I never really told that to my partner. And, you know, she was doing her fucking thing and, going, and then, like, we both kind of caught each other and we're like that Spider-Man meme, you know, where they're fucking pointing at each other.
Like the old Pina Colada song.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, what the fuck's going on? All right, we're open or poly or whatever the fuck we are. And
yeah.
You know, it's just a wild time. I don't know how I got on that tangent. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
But yeah, I I was saying, like, my partner's awesome. That's cool. You know, we divorced, or in the process of getting a divorce. We separated, and, you know, and she actually was, like, dating someone else for a very short time. And then, you know, it kind of came back, and it's been crazy. So it's not, we didn't leave on terrible terms at that time. It was okay. We still live together, you know what I'm saying? We own a house together and shit. So, you know, couldn't really just separate, but, you know, we went separate rooms, all that shit, for like 2 months, and somehow now we're back to it. It's a complicated, weird fucking, you know, you tell people, they're like, what in the fuck?
Well, I mean, but it's stronger than most relationships. Yeah, what it sounds like.
So. I mean, we've been through a lot. So, you know, I mean, my son that passed away, he was born with a rare form of muscular dystrophy called Duchenne. So we had to deal with that. We had to deal with fucked up shit, basically, since he was our second born. My firstborn was before a year. We were together for a year, okay. So our firstborn came. And then my son, who was Grayson, who passed away, we found out she was 4 months pregnant 6 months after Maya was born. My daughter, my firstborn. Okay. So, and she was 4 months pregnant at that time when we found out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we had to fucking freak out. Anyway, he was born, and basically about a year after he was born, we found out he had muscular dystrophy. And then, you know, dealt with all that shit, and then cancer, and then, you know, dealing with that. Yeah, we've been through, and then there's been all other fucked up things. We lost my grandpa, who was like my dad, because I don't have a dad. He passed away. Never met him either. Like, it's not like he was a good dude.
Yeah.
But, like, I forgot where I was going with that. My bad.
You're all good.
I'm sorry. Not very good for a podcast to just lose your train of thought.
Oh, this podcast, it's perfect for
it. We lose our train of thought all the time. Maybe soon.
Ten minutes. Okay. But, wow, that's a...
God damn, Sean.
Well, you know, I keep you company.
Oh, man. So that...
been through quite a wild ride.
It's been fun. Road.
You have a...
I'd do it all again.
You have a very interesting story. I wish this podcast was longer. Because there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot I could talk about. I don't necessarily like talking about myself that often, so it's weird to spend an hour talking about myself, I'll be honest. I love
talking. Like, before we had guests, all it was us talking about ourselves.
It was too much of talking about ourselves.
That's okay. I mean... Like, I don't even promote my own comedy on my own shit. I just go do it.
You should promote some of your comedy right here, though.
No, I mean, I was about to, honestly. I was about to plug it. I go to open mics, a lot of open mics. I go to Flanagan's Thursday nights. I won't be there tonight, obviously, because it's 8 o'clock. The show already started. But I'll be at Kaiju every Tuesday and Thursday. I think it's every Tuesday and Thursday. Or every other Tuesday and
Kaiju
Thursday.
Has, like, some of the best bar food ever.
Yeah. Those egg rolls are pretty fucking good.
Blood the chimichangas.
They're better after a few drinks.
Yeah. So.
Or the Korean corn dogs.
Ooh. And I'm at Kaiju on Tuesdays. They have their open mics, I do there. June 5th, I'll be at Comedy Caravan. On Wednesday, June 5th, during their show. Okay. I don't think
Wednesday,
there's a cover.
June 5th.
Is that the open mic?
Yeah, the open mic at Comedy Caravan. I don't think there's a cover, but if there is, it's only like $5 to get in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get as many people to come out. And then I'm also going to be at Louisville Comedy Club around the same time. Nice. Within a couple days. I don't have the exact date yet, but...
Louisville Comedy Club. I haven't been down there yet.
I have not either. I don't even know where the fuck it is.
I'm thinking about, you know who's playing down there?
Who?
Jason Mewes.
Oh, shit.
Is it on 4th Street Live?
I think it's around there, but I'm not for sure.
I think you're right.
Like where the old improv is?
But the old improv is gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go there.
Oh, my God. I hate motorcycles.
I'll be 1,000% honest. I was going to 21st and German, but... I'm not trying to be down, but they do not like me there. They do not like trans women in that bar. That is...
It's a very opinionated place.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And I've done sets that I've absolutely killed in 20, 30 person rooms, which isn't a lot, but when I go there, it's crickets. Every fucking time. And I'm like, and the looks I get is just like, get the fuck off the stage as fast as you can. So, don't ever go to 21st and German's open mic. You can cut that out if you want. I don't give a shit.
I don't know.
You get 1,000%. I'm sorry. I forget that I was on a microphone for a second. Just started talking shit.
You're the last in a long line of people who've said that. So.
Yeah, that's why we haven't played there, is because we haven't. I haven't heard anything positive about that.
There's nothing positive I would give. They had good drinks. There you go. That's positivity.
Like, I used to live up the street from there, and so I would have been down for that place, but if I was still living there, just because it's in walking distance, but I live in Hillview now, so, yeah.
I live in Valley Station. I'm a fucking trans woman.
Oh,
it sucks.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that the other night.
Yeah, it sucks being out there, so. Yeah.
How much time we got? Valley Village, are you?
I'm like down. So you know where you get off at the Snyder? How much time we got, by the way?
Oh, we got about 5 more minutes.
Okay,
left.
So like I was down. I live down on the Gene Snyder, and if you go on Dixie, if you get off at the Gene Snyder at Dixie, coming from 264, you go left about 3 miles. So I'm like, I'm up in the sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very end of the city.
I'm also on the other side of the Gene Snyder.
The police do not come over there where I'm at. Yeah. Wow. They do not come down. There's the Circle K down by me. Yeah. And there's a road. I'm not going to say the road, but there's Circle K down by me. And it's a pretty bad place to live. But I did go in there and buy a gun. Not at Circle K, but that would be interesting. No, I went to a gun store down there and... It just says gun store. Trump flags and all that stuff in there. The fucking fuck Biden things hanging everywhere. And like Blue Lives Matter, Thin Blue Line, all that bullshit. And it's like, and my fucking trans ass walked in there and I was like, can I get a gun? What you need it for? And I was like, I just want to make people stop fucking with me. You know? And they're like, self-defense? And it's like, yeah, self-defense. That's what I want it for. Sure. Yeah. Self-defense.
I mean, yeah. You're not lying.
No. But I got a 22. It's pink.
Oh, nice.
It holds 17 bullets. I figured that's enough. And I figured if I can't hit the thing in 17 bullets, I probably should just give up and let them get me. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I'm out.
You can have whatever you want, Daddy. No, I'm just like...
Wait, you got a pink one, though?
Yeah, I got a pink one. It's a pretty badass. It's pretty pink and black and has, like, white accents. It's pretty tight. I don't have it with me today, but...
Just get a magic holster for it.
Yeah.
Pink coming from Amazon right now.
Awesome!
Yeah. Oh, shit, that's dope.
It's on the hip holster, so people are gonna see. It's, like, the same pink as this hoodie, so it's... Yeah, so I'm just like, I think it's pink. I'm colorblind.
I didn't know you could get pink color or pink guns. Fucking now on
a
gun.
I customized it there. What I told the dude, I was like, I want a pink gun. He's like, but I brought like $700 in cash to just sat it up there. The gun only cost me like $300. But like the dude's like, when I sat it there, he's like, all right. She, her, I guess, but it was hard. It was like tearing him up to be like, she needs a gun. And I got to go back there in the thing and shoot it, and they showed me how to shoot it and everything, and it's pretty cool. And yeah, so
I bet those like rednecks talked about that.
Oh, I'm sure I'm still a topic because they're fucking conversation. They're like, what in the fuck? A fucking libtard came in here and bought a pink gun. The fuck?
They still sold it.
Yeah, of course they're gonna sell it. They want that money. Yeah. The only color I care about is green, baby. Let's go.
Green changes a lot of opinions.
Yes, it does. Yeah, so, but you know, like, men give me shit about the size of the gun, though.
Really? Oh, because it's a 22.
Yeah, but it's like, don't shoot all the same ones and say size doesn't matter, so. I don't really listen to that. Take it with a grain of salt. You know what I'm saying?
I will always stick by size does not matter. And that's the Donnie Vagrant seal. That is.
Well, I promise if I empty 17 shots into whatever's coming at me, even if it's a 22, it's going to stop moving. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or at least slow them down.
I think it'll stop, especially a couple headshots.
Yeah, I'm pretty good shot too. The guy was like, "Have you ever shot a gun before?" And I was like, "Not a handgun." Like, I got like all in what they call the 10 ring, and then I got him in the head. Like, he was telling me where to shoot, and like, I didn't miss the target. And the guy was like looking at me like, "What the fuck?" And I was like, "Am I Jason Bourne? Josina Bourne?" I don't know how you could turn Jason into a girl name, but so Jason Bourne.
Jason.
Jason Bourne.
Joan Wick.
Joan Wick. There you go. Fucking. I would like to, I don't ever want to use it, but I kind of do. So please, if you see me walking down the street, try to fight me so I can shoot you. Does that make it premeditated? That might make it premeditated.
If you're setting up the fight, but we don't know who it is, what's going through their mind, so there's got to be a legal.
Just know I'm going to empty 17 22 caliber bullets into you.
It's going to hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to, I'll probably miss a lot because I'll be, oh, my God.
I would always feel like going for the kneecap would be perfect. I feel like that's the perfect way to not kill. It is, but you imagine getting shot in the kneecap? Would stop
that's
you.
That's over.
Kneecaps would stop you. Yeah, it's done. Yeah. It doesn't matter what hits you. You can fucking use a slingshot and a rock. You know what I'm saying? Fucking those wrist rockets you remember with the fucking pad? Pull that shit back with a ball bearing.
Oh, that's it.
What we used to use when I was a kid. We used to have like BB guns, but fuck that. You could fuck shit up with those.
You get hurt somebody.
When I was in my 20s, me and my friends had an airsoft war in my brother-in-law's basement, and everything was fine until, it happened. Right in the eye.
Yep.
I got it right in the eye. I'm like, this is it. They're going to have to take my eye. I'm like, but fuck it. I'll look cool as shit with an eye patch. And luckily, I was being over dramatic, and everybody's like, dude, it barely touched
me. I'm like, well, that's why. PPE. PPE, buddy. This is these health and safety standards. If you're going to have a podcast, no.
Yeah, we need to get OSHA involved.
Yeah.
We're going to start shooting people.
I'll shoot the OSHA people.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think we're about at that
we're going to end on shooting OSHA people.
We're going to end on shooting OSHA. OSHA, watch your fucking back.
Oh, my God.
Can I say one last thing real quick?
Yes.
It's not even anything funny or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it's like, I just want to say that you never know what people are going through. And this is something I try to say at the end of my sets every time. You never know what people are going through. At all. And it takes nothing, and I'm not directing this at you guys, but it takes nothing, and it costs nothing to just be a kind and decent human being. And everybody that, whether they're listening to this podcast or they're out there, whatever it is that they do, the only thing that they crave is love and acceptance. And as trans people, that's the only thing that we want, is to be loved and accepted the same way that you guys want to be loved and accepted. And that's all I gotta say. I just want to end on something positive other than want to shoot OSHA.
Amen. But OSHA, we're fucking coming for you.
Fuck you, Dave Grohl.
Well, we accept you. And
Nickelback sucks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nickelback. Fuck Nickelback.
But yeah, thank you so much for having me on this podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though the other one didn't get published, this is my second time. So I'm a fucking vet now.
Yeah.
DMP vet.
Yeah. Yep. Let's go.
Yeah.
So
June 5th, the Comedy Caravan. Every Tuesday and Thursday at Kaiju. Every Thursday at Flanagan's.
Mm-hmm.
So you do two on Thursday.
Yeah. If I can make them both, yes, okay. I do. But if I can only make it to Kaiju, like if I get to Flanagan's and I'm too late on the list, I'm heading to Kaiju.
I like Kaiju.
Yeah, I like Flanagan's. It's no shade to Flanagan's. I love Flanagan's. But
I don't really go up there. It's just I know some of the people that work at Kaiju, and they're awesome. So. Yeah.
But anyway, that's where you can catch me. And then at some point in time, I'll be at Louisville Comedy Store. And maybe I'll let you guys know so you can plug that again.
We definitely. We plug anything that will let us plug.
You can look me up on Facebook, Madison Greenwald. I do have a couple clips up now, finally. I got some shit up with my stuff, so, you know.
Feel free to go there and check it out.
Will do. All right, thanks again, Madison.
Thank you so much. Yes,
thank you so much. And everybody out there in Radio Land, know that the next time we will join you, hold on, I have to look it up because I am not a good, I am not prepared. We will have our friend Jason from the Super Satan Show based out of Cincinnati via the phone. And it's going to be pretty fucking cool because that guy is... Yeah, he's kind of out of his mind. So he has a Satan hand puppet and he makes bands talk to it. So he's right up our alley on weird. So
yeah. All right. Well, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you all so much for having me on. I appreciate it so much.
It was a good episode.
We love you, everyone.